Barbara. Good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be home again. And by home I mean here on Wednesday night with all of you. Gosh, what a great crowd tonight. Thank you all for coming out. Even when Millie's not here, Barbara runs the show great in a great way. Well, I took off on an airplane slightly over 2 weeks ago and plugged in my headphones and listened to Jimmy Buffett music all the way to New York. And tonight I want to talk about changes in latitude, changes in attitude, and increases in gratitude. Jimmy Buffett says it's those changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes, nothing remains quite the same. But with all of our running and all of our cunning, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane.
Amen.
Amen to that. Well, Barbara alluded to my travels. Since June the 14th, I've survived 12 and a half airplane landings. Thank you, God. You might ask about the half. Just Monday night, we were crossing Pacific Highway on a final approach when we decided not to land and went around again. Apparently there was a plane that was slow getting out of the way and the spacing was not sufficient for landing. So I much rather hear the gear go up, hear the engines roar, and take off again than end up with a plane on the runway. Two planes on the runway at the same time would have been unfortunate. So I was grateful to survive 12 and a half airplane landings. I didn't used to be a white knuckle flyer, but now I'm older and smarter. And even though I work for a company that makes airplane parts, I still get nervous every time I fly. Maybe because I work for a company that makes airplane parts. You cannot imagine, or maybe you can imagine, I can draw an analogy, I suppose, the incredible crush of 14,000 people in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Even the Hall of Fame management couldn't imagine that, because before that day, they'd only had 9,800 as their biggest day ever. So we were 1.5 times the biggest day ever at 14,000. And you couldn't move. If you wanted to see Tony Gwynn's plaque, of course you had to wait until after the induction ceremonies, and we were there before the induction ceremonies. But if you wanted to see any other baseball star's plaque, you had to go like this and whittle your way through 14,000 other people who were on the same mission. But I'm thankful that I saw Tony Gwynn inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I'm thankful that I kept a promise to myself to do that. 5 years ago, when he played his last game as a Padre, I said, I'm going to be at the Hall of Fame when Tony Gwynn gets inducted. And on January 9th of this year, when the inductions or the elections were announced, I said, you know, 5 years ago I made a promise to myself, and I owe it to myself to keep that promise. So I plunked down my MasterCard, and 6 months later, flew to Cooperstown. So I'm grateful that God allowed me to have the money to keep the promise to myself. This brings me to a quotation that I heard recited at Westminster Abbey on Sunday. I guess it was the second reading of the Evensong ceremony. And it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. And that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. How many times do we say yes and no at the same time? How many times do we not keep promises to ourselves? And in so doing, we don't allow God to keep His promise to us. But in Jesus Christ, it is always yes. So I listened to that reading and I thought, thank you, God, for giving me that insight, for allowing me to say yes to life, for allowing me to be in Westminster Abbey on that occasion. That's just one of the highlights of my journey this summer. And I will say more about that momentarily. The Evensong service, I guess you'd call it, is a service of afternoon or evening. It's a combination of two ceremonies that the monks used to perform in medieval times. It's halfway between Vespers and Compline. And it's about an hour, and it involves the choir and the organ. So if you don't have an opportunity to tour Westminster Abbey, because the tours end at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you don't get out of bed till 12, then the 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock evensong is definitely the way to go. Besides, as a spiritual person, touring a glorious cathedral like Westminster Abbey or St. Paul's is almost a travesty. If you can't be there for the actual church service, then you're missing out. Or at least that's the belief that I have, and that's the belief that my friends that were with me in London had. So we went to Evensong at St. Paul's on Saturday, and then we went to Evensong at Westminster Abbey on Sunday. And after a summer of North Dakota, Ohio, which included a game of baseball at the Great American Ballpark between Cincinnati and some forgettable team named the Diamondbacks. Followed by a trip to England where I went by taxi back and forth every day from the hotel to the office for 2 weeks straight, and I had the courage, not to say stupidity, to sit in the front seat, which was on the left-hand side of the car, and watch the drivers of the taxis negotiate through 8 different roundabouts on the way to the office. And if you've never been to England, you can't appreciate the thrill, terror, that encompasses. But it all culminated in my two days in London. I was actually in Birmingham for 2 weeks and London for 2 days. But the London experience was, of course, the highlight of the journey. And it was the highlight of the journey because it was the end of my travels, as well as the highlight of my journey because it was the spiritual center of my travels. You can't go to a large cathedral and not find God. Now, we know God doesn't live in the house. God is everywhere. But God is focused in the house because everyone comes to the house to find God. And that is true of this church. It is true of the Kensington Church, that we don't have to be in the building to experience God. But when we are in the building, it's almost impossible not to. So I was blessed to be in the building twice after 2 weeks of 60-hour work weeks and not a lot of spiritual thought, much less spiritual discovery. Now, imagine, if you will, a cathedral that is, I can't even begin to describe how big these places are because I have no frame of reference. There are no churches in San Diego of the magnitude of St. Paul's or Westminster Abbey. They are gigantic. They are hundreds of feet high. Hundreds of feet, like 20 stories high, perhaps, at the center. I don't know how high they are, but they're really high. And you can look up, and you can't get your head back far enough. Well, if you have a stiff neck like I do, you can't get your head far enough back to see the ceiling. But there are great, glorious windows of stained glass and great, glorious carvings of saints and mosaics and whatnot all the way up the side of the wall, so you don't have to see the ceiling. They don't allow you to take pictures during church services. What is wrong with those people? So I surreptitiously turned my camera lens up on my lap and took pictures of the ceiling. No flash. But you didn't need a flash because the sun was coming in the stained glass windows and there was quite enough light. Now, the evensong is held in the part of the church called the choir, with a Q, Q-U-I-R-E. But the reason it's called the choir, I think, is because that's where the choir stands to sing. The C-H-O-I-R choir stands to sing in the Q-U-I-R-E. 24 singers, one conductor, one organist, about 8 priests, and an hour of pure magic. Now, I have to say that I judged the choir against my own standard, which is the Fraternal Spiritualist Church Choir, and I found them to be adequate. I judged the music that they were singing against the Fraternal Spiritualist Church music, and I found it to be adequate. But I would have to say that the words they were singing were above par. Because the whole point of the choir during an evensong ceremony is that they sing the psalms, one or two of them. And the one that was sung at St. Paul's on Saturday was Psalm 136. And it directly applies to changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes, and increases in gratitudes. Because it goes like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Well, you can't hear that song in music that wasn't John Rutter, but somebody trying to be, you know, and not give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And in St. Paul's, the acoustics are phenomenal. It's all stone and marble and glass. And when the choir sang a note, it echoed through the whole church. And it brought goosebumps and hair-raising to all of us in hearing. It was so magnificent that you couldn't help but be moved by the music alone, much less by the incredible words that they were singing. We got to St. Paul's purely by chance, if you believe in chance. We were taking a bus ride around London, and we were coming up on St. Paul's, and the Spirit moved me to say, let's get off the bus. Let's go to St. Paul's. We didn't know there was an evensong at 5 p.m., but it happened to be about 4:35 when we got off the bus. So we went in, and we saw a group gathering at the center of the church, and they said, we're having an evensong at 5 o'clock, and we said, right on, because we were planning on going to evensong on Sunday at Westminster. So we waited for about half an hour, and then they led us into the choir, which is between the biggest part of the church and the main altar. So we were like, from me to Kevin, from the main altar, actually, sitting with the choir, virtually in the front row for this performance. And we had no idea that it was going to happen, and we had no idea that we'd be there at that time. But Spirit got us there, and we thanked God for it. The next day, we were visiting the Tower of London all morning. Now, the Tower of London is removed from Westminster Abbey by about 5 miles, I think. And the way to get there is to walk up Tower Hill, down the stairs into the underground, catch the train, walk up the stairs out of the underground, and walk from the tube station to Westminster Abbey. And after 3 hours of walking around the Tower of London, I said, "I don't think so. Look, there's a taxi." And less than 50 feet away from the bottom of Tower Hill was a taxi, which took us those 5 miles for £10, which is about $23, but it was well worth it. And we walked into Westminster Abbey for a repeat performance with a different choir, different music, different psalms, but the same general format and structure. At both of these experiences, we, the congregation, were called upon to sing. And at Westminster Abbey, the song that the congregation got to sing, the hymn, was "Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore, mortals give thanks and sing and triumph evermore." And the chorus is, "Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice." Again, I say, rejoice. And we rejoiced in the beauty and the magnificence and the glory of church in the big house, Westminster Abbey. So I have to say that my travels have been exhausting. They've been challenging. They've been sometimes exciting. They've been frustrating from a work point of view, but also rewarding from a work point of view. And it feels like it was all destined to lead up to 2 Sundays in London, or Saturday and Sunday, 2 church services in London. Because although I've been now to Piccadilly Circus, and I've been to see Big Ben, and I've taken a boat ride on the Thames, and I've been to the Tower of London, which is 20 towers, actually, for those of you who haven't been there. I've had my picture taken with a beefeater. I've been on a bus by Trafalgar Square and by Hyde Park and all these landmarks of London that we've heard about but that I never expected in my life to see. The culmination of this whole experience was the spiritual one. The opportunity to get close to God again after having been sort of distant for 2 weeks, to really experience the change in attitude that goes with the change in latitude and the increase in gratitude. And of course, there's a country song. There's always a country song. This one is from Lone Star called "Hey God." And the pertinent part is, "Hey God, you have your ways, you have your plan, sometimes mysterious and hard to understand. I am humbled by your grace and everything you do. Hey God, I just want to thank you." Sometimes mysterious and hard to understand. Got us off the bus at St. Paul's, 20 minutes ahead of the evensong there, when we didn't even know there was an evensong there. But humbled by God's grace and everything God does. I just want to thank God and all of you for being my spiritual family and for giving me this time. Thank you.
She's amazing. No evidence of jet lag or anything.
You should see me about 4 in the afternoon.